So today I want to share a little bit and about how God talks through us. And are you a voice for God? Well, you know, we're all a voice for something. It could be ourself. How many were a voice for a sports team yesterday? One way or the other. But I know several of us have probably been a voice for a movement or someone else, the unborn. And we're a voice for that, the oppressed. Some of us are a voice for trees and animals, and you know, there's actually a verse in the book of Revelation says the mankind's going to be judged for how much of a steward they were of the earth. Not just they used it, but how stewards. So there is that element of being a steward of what he's given us and not just taking it for granted. We're a voice for our family. We're a voice for church, for political issues, schools. There's lots of things that we're a voice for. And every one of us, our life is speaking something. Even if you're quiet and you're all by yourself, your life is speaking. Your life is always saying something. And most Christians have a belief that their life should be speaking, at least that it's pleasing God in some way, that we're doing his will, that we know him, that we're a light, we're living as a child, his child, we love him with all of our heart. But there's an element in that that changes as far as what makes the difference, whether these things we believe is really happening. What's the difference? And how many has used one of these before? Have you ever sat there and you've been going along and then you change the channel? Why do you change the channel? Because you don't like what's on, or your team's losing. I'm done with this. So that's our opportunity at home that we get to practice not grumbling and complaining. What are they doing out there? But anyways, So we change channel because we don't like it. We want something else. How many of you, I'm sure, have used one of these? We've been looking through a menu and you find something that's really good. You know, it's like, wow. And then you turn the page like, wow, there's something even better. You know, then you get to the dessert page like, whoa. What can I get through all this so I can get to this so I can feel good in my conscience that I've eaten something before that? Well, you know, that's part of our belief system. That's how we can treat it sometimes. It's like changing channels till we find something new or cool or a menu that we can just flip through. And actually, it's one of the main reasons why people walk away from their faith, because their belief has not become a conviction. And what's the difference between a belief and a conviction? Well, the belief, You just believe it, yeah, you know. You realize there's probably some truth in it, but there's no roots. It's not down in there. It hasn't changed my life in any way, because we actually live out of our convictions. We believe all kinds of stuff. You know, we can read things and believe, and it's not that it's not true, but the convictions what changed our lives. And part of going from belief to conviction has to do with the action in our life. And if you want to know, I've changed my beliefs several times because I was wrong. I realized that's not right anymore. And these could be beliefs that I could have being brought up, ways I saw people, ways I saw things, way I looked at life. I realized that's just not right. There's something wrong. And it's so comfortable just to go along with the flow and just believe like everybody else and stop. But is this not right? I remember years ago, I had a dream. I shared this before. I had a dream, and I saw my historical line, grandparents and all of them, just lying down one by one in this river, sort of like they were just dying or whatever they were doing, and just floating along. And I remember looking at that, and I started to lean toward it. And it came to me like, no, I don't have to live like that. I don't have to go the same way everybody else goes and do the same. And I said, no. And I stepped back. That's really some of that. It's like, No, we don't have to do and live like we've always done if our beliefs aren't lining up. And you say, well, what do they, should they line up with? Well, great, I guess, gauge for that is, Jesus said it, the two greatest commandments. How does your beliefs, how does your life, your belief line up with, is it leaning toward your loving God and how are you treating other people? That's a great way to evaluate your beliefs. Jesus said in a parable in Luke, it's written in, or recorded in Luke 8, says, he was talking about beliefs and the people. He says, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in this time of testing, they fall away. Testing can simply be some new idea comes along. You wonder why the statistic is so many college kids struggle because they have beliefs and not convictions. So they go to way to the liberal school or people teach them stuff that's, oh, here's a new belief. It's good for all of us to stop and examine what we believe. Examine what is this, what are my beliefs? Are they lining up with my life? Am I going in the right direction? Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians is recorded, he wrote to the church in Corinth, and he told him this. He says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? We should ask ourselves, how is my life lining up? Do my convictions, are they lining up with what I really want my life to go? My actions. And so how do I believe? How am I lining up my life? It's all by faith. And if we say we want to be a voice of God, our life is speaking something. And if we want to speak for God, it's going to be by faith. The Bible says that faith comes from hearing the word, and the word is through Jesus. And so when we hear the word of God, we can get the Bible, we can see this, say, how does this line up? How is my life lining up with this? Jesus was talking to one of his disciples, or to all of them, and he said this. He says, I think I got that up here. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Let me get that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So really, Jesus is saying, if you see me, you see the Father, which in my heart, saying, Lord, that means that when people see me, they should see Jesus. And Jesus told Philip, it was almost like he was surprised. He says, don't you know this, Philip? Haven't I been with you long enough? All that's happening, what we've been through, don't you know me? Haven't you seen this? And then he tells him on later in those same section of verses, he says, you know, Philip, if you don't believe what I say, believe what I do. Which to me, that challenges me to saying, is my life saying Jesus? Not my words. My words, I could talk about him, I could tell people, but is my life saying that? I could come here and read these Bible verses and talk to everybody, be nice and smile and all that kind of stuff, shake your hand when you leave, and be a horrible person once I step out here. Is my life saying Jesus? So how does this happen? How does our life go to a point that we can, it says Jesus? There was an article I read this week in Outreach Magazine. It was by a pastor named Joseph Walker. He's a charismatic pastor of a Baptist church down in Nashville, a big Baptist church. But he said, one of the things that we realize as Christians is the Christian life is a life of steps, not elevators. Which means it'd be nice to just to push that button and go, we're there. But that's not the way it happens. It happens in steps. And how we become a voice for God actually happens in steps. In another section where Paul wrote to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, all we who are with unveiled faces, in other words, we've seen. The Holy Spirit has helped us to see, wow, Jesus came to set me free. He says, once we've seen that, we contemplate. We're looking at this awesome blessing. He says, we're being transformed into his image. So it's not just seeing this awesome, great, awesome salvation we have, this freedom to believe it's by faith, but there's something's going to happen. Something's happening here that's going to change my life. What is this process? And there's similarities to the process, but a lot of it depends on us. God works with us and what he has for us. It's good to know where we are right now. Do you remember I shared a couple weeks ago, what was the first question God asked to mankind? Where are you? That's a great question. And say, where am I? Lord, where am I? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I what your plan is for my life? Am I on the right path? We use these things as a gauge to tell temperatures, and there's all kinds of different gauges out there. And there's a gauge that Jesus said can tell us where we really are in our heart. There's something we can guess, but there's something we can really check on that can tell us. And it's a verse says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So it said, what's coming out of my mouth? What's coming out of my life? If I never talk about God and never talk about Jesus, then what's going on? If I never talk about my wife or my kids, what's going on in my heart? If all I talk about are the Buckeyes, then something's off. Something's wrong, you know? Or if all I talk about is my job or something. It's one of those things, it's an indicator, it's a gauge to say what is coming out of my mouth is really what's in my heart. So Lord, I need to sort this out. I need to change some things in there. I need to reprioritize what's going on if that's what's happening. And it's not just my mouth, it's what's coming out of my life. So how are we transformed? I don't know, how many in here has ever studied the life of a monarch butterfly? You ever really seen what happens? Really? And you know, the interesting thing is that butterfly that you see in the spring is not the same butterfly you see in the fall. And that a monarch butterfly actually goes through four life cycles in one summer. And in that one life cycle, there's a process that happens. And I'm going to share a little bit of that. And as I'm sharing that, see if you can relate this to the Christian life. So this monarch butterfly puts its eggs on a particular plant. It's a milkweed because there's nourishment there. So God, if you consider that, puts that seed in there. He plants that seed in there. And it grows and it develops. But even as it develops into that caterpillar changes probably five times. It molts. And there's change going on. There's something happening. And then it makes the cocoon in there. And then after that, here comes this butterfly. That's stage one. Then that butterfly in the same summer goes and does the same thing. That's stage two. Then that butterfly goes and does the same thing. That's stage three. And that butterfly goes and does the same thing. And then that butterfly flies down to Mexico because it's as far as it gets down and comes back and starts all over. Well, if you think about the whole process of the Christian life, God plants a seed into our heart and it grows and it's just, we become these squishy little things that go around, but we're very vulnerable. We're very vulnerable in that, but God protects us, and there's just this transition that happens over and over again. And if you think about each time the Holy Spirit puts his word in us, does it transform our life? Does that get down in there and conviction? You know, I can read this Bible, and I've read it I don't even know how many times. But unless that word gets in me and changes me, it's good. It's important I'm in there, but I need it to be in here. I need it to change me. I need to have. So I just grabbing, letting God's word get in and do that transformation process. The scripture says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. This is a verse that happens over. It's not a one-time verse. It's not just, okay, I'm new in Christ, I'll never be new again. He renews us over and over and over again. He renews us in how I'm relating to my wife and kids. He renews us how I'm doing my job. He renews us in how I relate to friends, how I relate to people. He renews us in my faith. He renews me all the time. This is a life process that happens, and he renews. And hopefully, that renewing, I come over here just as that butterfly. I come over here, and I'm a new person. But then the process starts again. I come over here, I'm another new person. Different. I'm different. Yeah, I have some remembrance, but I'm different. So this process that the Holy Spirit does, he constantly gets us so that we can be his voice. If we're not transformed, if you remember that first verse I read in Corinthians 3:18, it's so that we can be in the image of Christ. That's what that whole transformation process is, in becoming a voice. A lot of this whole, this process, one of the main areas it starts is right here. How you see yourself. How you see life. If you heard a lot of the verses, the songs, so much of it is how I perceive and how I look at things. There's a verse in, I don't have it up there. It's in Romans 12:2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How I think is going to affect how I act, how I believe, how I see it. I can read a verse in here, and I know historically, people have twisted this Bible all over the place and tried to make it say this and do that and justify all kinds of things. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to say, Holy Spirit, what did you mean by this? Not how I can use this to do what I want. What do you want to this verse to do inside of me so that you could do what you want in my life? And so there's that renewing, the word in my mind, I'm thinking, and how am I looking? You know, athletes, when you're thinking, athletes, before they usually go and do something, they think about it. They perceive. Have you ever listened to any Olympians or any of the major professionals? They see themselves doing what they're doing. They get out there and they picture themselves. Have you ever stopped and pictured yourself being more loving, being more kind, being more patient, being that Christian, being who God wants us to be? It's stopping and thinking and seeing myself. Yeah, I've always seen myself like this, but seeing yourself in that new pattern, that new life. The Bible says the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. This word stronghold actually means a fortress. Have you ever had a fortress in your thoughts? Well, just the way it's going to be. It's just the way it is. But it says that God wants to demolish things that are resistant to him. That doesn't mean we don't stand strong in our faith. But if there's something that's preventing us from being changed and being transformed, then the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, helps us. And so I ask myself, Lord, what strongholds do I need changed in? I don't believe in making stuff up just so you can have a drama in your life, just so you can just say, okay, I'm going through this. You don't have to go through stuff. There's enough stuff to go through. You don't need to come up with something. But if the Holy Spirit shows you, and the Holy Spirit says, you know what? You have a stronghold. And he will. He's a good shepherd. And if we're faithful and we're walking along with him and we're doing the basics, if we're ignoring him, you're probably going to be harder to hear him. But if you're in the word and you're praying, you're being around people, he will show you. He'll reveal that to you that, you know what? This here is blocking. You have this belief in your life. You have this as Tara showed. You have this maybe a fear. And where's that fear, that stronghold is from back here? This is why. Whatever, maybe you failed in something. You thought, I don't want to ever do that again. Well, that just became a stronghold. If you never want to try something again because you might fail. It's a story. Somebody's car's going off out there. I want to read this story, and then if our musicians could maybe come up when I'm done with the story. Okay. So Jerry... This guy, this man named Jerry, he'd grown up with a father who was very successful. He was a workaholic. I mean, he just poured his life into his job. And Jerry never lacked anything. Had everything he wanted, But unfortunately, he didn't have a closeness with his dad, with his family. And he had difficulty sharing any relationships with others, even as an adult. But when he was a teen, his father died suddenly. And his family didn't have a lot of support. So he developed this insecurity. And he made a vow that he would never, ever experience that again. A lack of anything. So he worked really hard. And he became very, very successful. He got into business. Put a lot of stress on everybody around him for success. And he did very well. He had a relationship with God. And he sees as his peers, he looked like a role model. But when you really examined him closer, there was something wasn't right. He often displayed anger in stressful situations. He would shame his employees into correcting their behavior. The only accountability he had with some was maybe with some of his clients. And this pattern began to emerge. And as far as placing restrictions on those around him and controlling everything, and especially if something was anything financial, he really put pressure on that, on people for financial success. But eventually, his marriage began to deteriorate. His business became in crisis. His relationships were all falling apart. And through some counsel, some trusted friends, they helped him see that this was a stronghold. And these were symptoms, and there was this insecurity. A fear had been established in his life back several years ago when they didn't have the money. And this fear entered in and affected his life from there on. And actually it was something that he had. It's something he realized his father had, and it's something he realized his grandfather had. To a sense of working hard and controlling people and circumstances. And the Holy Spirit showed him, convicted him. He asked forgiveness for the sins he committed toward not just himself, to God, but to others around him, made restitution. And he shifted his priorities. And the Holy Spirit began to work in his life, so he began to have this intimate relationship with God, with his wife, his family, with his friends. He became a new person. He was transformed his life. And the person who actually wrote that was Jerry. Jerry, this is a testimony that Jerry shared. And that's an example of a stronghold that sometime we could grab a belief. And who knows why we grab that belief? I mean, God does. Why we grab that belief can stop us from becoming a voice for God. And God wants us to be set free. So now if our worship team could come on up. And I'm going to have us read some things on here. If we go ahead and stand. First of all, are you willing, realizing when I say are you willing to be a voice of God, what you're saying is, I'm willing to be transformed. Are you willing to be transformed? To allow that transformation process to go more than just once. It's a life process. But you know what? Every time it happens, it causes you to come further into who God really destined you to be. It causes you to come into freedom, to joy, to experience that abundant life. Are you willing to deal with strongholds in your life? To ask the Holy Spirit, so Holy Spirit, are there strongholds in my life that's preventing me from stepping in, whatever that is? And you know, sometimes you'll get it like that, and sometimes it might be a process that he'll show you how to get to those and how to deliver them. But I like to us to, there's some verses or some words up here. These are all declarations of who we are in Christ, of realizing this is who we really are. This is what the Bible says. I printed off, there's a paper, I'm going to leave some up here and some. This is over 100 verses in the Bible that tells you who you are in Christ. And as again, remember we talked about seeing who you are? If I see myself that this is who I am, my life is going to change. If I see myself as what I was or what the things that people have declared, I could be held in bondage for the rest of my life. But the Holy Spirit wants to help us be everything God wants us to be. So if we could just go through, we got several of these we want to read. We'll just read through them down here in order. Let's just start. Let's all just read them together. You don't have to wait for me to read them. We'll just read them together. I am a child of God. I am a friend of Jesus. I have been justified and redeemed. My old self was crucified with Christ, and I am no longer a slave to sin. In Christ Jesus, I have wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in me. I am joined to the Lord and one spirit with him. I am a new creation in Christ. I am no longer a slave, but a child and heir. I have been set free in Christ. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I am chosen, holy, blameless before God through Christ. I have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I am seated in the heavenly places with Christ. I am God's workmanship created to produce good works. I have been brought near to God by the blood of Christ. I am a member of Christ's body and a partaker of his promise. My new self is righteous and holy. I am a citizen of heaven. The peace of God guards my heart and mind. God supplies all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I am a voice for God. You are so many things that God has for you to be transformed into that. Encourage you. Grab one of these papers. Look it up yourself. Look at the Bible. Do research. Find out who God decides you want to be and be that. If our personal ministry team will come forward, these ones will be up here. Maybe you never made that initial commitment to Christ to be your Savior. These ones can pray with you about that. If there's anything else you'd like to pray with you, maybe there's a stronghold you would like somebody to agree with you. Their prayers are confidential, so you don't have to worry about somebody else finding out about it. Mike's going to lead us in a song. Encourage you to come out to the Fall Festival. And after we're done, take maybe 2 minutes to find somebody you don't know and talk to them before you go running off. But God bless you, and go out and be a voice for God this week.